everybody. I'm Dr. Tim Brown, and this is Farmcast for the Community. Every month, we bring in special people to discuss topics that impact your lives and the way pharmacists and the pharmacy practice model helps our community every day, keeping us healthy. Next month is Men's Health Month, and I have Drs. Coburn and Young joining us. They're going to talk about preventive health for us gentlemen and how we can stay safe and healthy as we age. And trust me, everybody, we are aging every day. But before we get to November, this month is actually Pharmacy Advocacy Month, and what better person to bring on board than the Dean of the University of Georgia's College of Pharmacy. I want to welcome in Dr. Kelly Smith. Hi, Dr. Smith. How are you?
I'm doing well. Glad to be here on Farmcast for the Community.
Thanks for coming in. As I mentioned, this month is pharmacy advocacy, and that's a really big word, but basically it talks about how pharmacists are working together to advocate good health of our community. And I couldn't think of a better person than to have on.
Wow. Thanks for the endorsement.
No problem. Now, you joined University of Georgia College of Pharmacy when?
Well, it kind of is a long story. So if you think about it, I joined way back in the late 80s as a student.
So you're a graduate of this program.
Believe it or not, I am. But I'm proud to be back home since 2018 as dean and faculty member in the College of Pharmacy.
So when you were looking at coming to this position, where were you prior to Georgia?
How did I spend all my time before I came back home?
Obviously, you had a career before Georgia.
Yes. Very true. So after I graduated here at UGA, I did residency training in drug information down in Jacksonville, Florida.
Okay.
And I headed up north to Lexington, Kentucky. And I started off my career as a clinical pharmacist in drug information at the University of Kentucky Hospital. Spent years there at a great practice and really developed a number of what is now old school technology and approaches that predates the internet. Perhaps you can relate.
Yeah, I relate every day.
And many of our audience members perhaps can too. Got really involved in residency training and developed and really directed a residency program there. Loved doing that. And I found I really enjoyed unleashing the potential in others. So got involved in teaching, became a faculty member at the college. And suddenly this administrative thing started happening for me. So experience in student affairs and academic affairs, and even did a little stint as an interim dean. And that's when I got the bug to be a dean.
And so leaving Kentucky at the time, University of Kentucky, right?
Yes, that's correct.
And then taking this position in 2018.
Yes.
And walking into the University of Georgia now as dean when you were a student, what was that like coming back? I mean, it had to feel kind of triumph, right? I mean, coming back to this alma mater that you love so much.
A place that has always held my heart. For the football fans in the audience, they might be able to relate to this, but occasionally the two teams square off, University of Kentucky and University of Georgia.
Right.
My Kentucky colleagues always said, well, you're going to pull for Kentucky, right? The answer was always no. My alma mater always had my heart, and it still does. So when I came back, there was an affinity immediately for that. It's interesting because there are a few of our faculty members who taught me, so who knew me as a student,
wow,
as a baby pharmacist, as you might think of, but certainly to really see how we have grown and expanded, not only in our physical footprint, but the scope of our research, our patient care, our spread across the state, and that's kind of paralleled how pharmacy practice has evolved too,
that's
so
true.
It's growth everywhere.
So I think for those that are tuning in from the community, obviously we all know University of Georgia. It is the premier institution when it comes to Georgia education. But the College of Pharmacy is a component of that, right? It's on the main campus, that kind of thing?
Indeed. So if you're not into the higher ed hierarchy, we are a number almost of 20 other colleges that are a component, and schools that are a component of the University of Georgia. So we're the academic home for a number of degree programs. Yes.
Got it.
And then we're also, though, we have a bit of an extended campus model. So we have outposts across the state. We've got down in Albany, over in Augusta, and in Savannah as well. And even a few people that hang out in Gwinnett.
So we have pharmacy students on all those campuses.
We've got
pharmacy
them everywhere. We got people everywhere.
I think for the folks that are listening, I really want to back up for a second and talk about pharmacy education.
Sure.
You talked a lot about, you know, you were in residency, you graduated from UGA. Currently, how many students does the College of Pharmacy take per year and sitting in to become pharmacists?
Yes. We are fortunate that we are able to attract students from all over the place.
Yeah.
And on average, we target about 145 new students joining us every year. When they come to us as pharmacy students, they've done at least 2 years of pre-pharmacy coursework, but many have done other work as undergraduate students, maybe have other degrees and then come along, and they're signing up to spend 4 years at a minimum with us.
So six total,
six,
minimum.
Six is the fastest you can get there.
And that's getting the PharmD. So
that's getting your doctor of pharmacy.
They are a doctor.
That is correct.
And I think that's a big change for a lot of folks out there that might be listening is pharmacists are doctors.
That is correct.
Not to be confused with physicians.
Yes.
But, you know, doctors of pharmacy and everyone who works in pharmacy this day and age from the community setting all the way to the hospital setting and research tend to have this PharmD degree.
That's correct.
So 6 years minimum.
Yes.
And then you mentioned this magical word of residency.
Residency training.
Which I have to tell you, when I told my parents I was going to residency, my parents were like, okay, we didn't realize pharmacy. What do you mean you're going to residency?
What is that?
So what does that mean for folks after they graduate with their PharmD and they choose to go to a residency?
These days, you can find a real clear parallel with it in medicine. It's what people are accustomed
to.
Yeah,
that's a good way to do it.
And the way I tend to think about it is healthcare is so complex, and certainly drug therapy and the disease states are so difficult and complex. You need some focus time if you wish to really specialize and say, I'm going to set myself apart, and I'm going to be able to deliver a high level of care to a certain group of patients and work in a particular sector. We can't cram all that in 4 years of pharmacy school. So we have a model in pharmacy where you can self-select and say, hey, I'd like to establish my reputation as someone who's focused in this area. I'm going to go get some residency training to really get me that depth.
So critical care, emergency room, pediatrics.
There you go.
You can have pharmacists who specialize in those various, family medicine.
Practically every medical specialty in a residency training, nearly everyone has a component in pharmacy as a parallel.
I bring this up, and obviously I know these things, and I'm quizzing you on them because I want to educate our community. I don't think people realize that pharmacists go through such an extensive education, and then it's just the beginning of their education when they graduate because there are so many steps they take before they start to really practice on their own, if you will.
Indeed.
And so I know that's out there, and with our students and with everything that's going on, you just talked about sort of the evolution of pharmacy practice. How do you think UGA and the College of Pharmacy have adapted to this evolution of pharmacy? Because, you know, I think many people say pharmacist, and they think, oh, the person at this particular store is going to help me get my medications. They're going to run through insurance, make sure everything's paid for. But pharmacists do way more than that.
Well, I'll say they / we.
Yeah.
We certainly do. Much of it happens actually up here, so it's not externally visible in terms of we are what we think of as the ultimate problem solvers, and we're able to use those problem-solving skills in a variety of places and ways. So just the visible kind of, I'm going to put something in a package and I can see the steps you take, it's not there. Really what it is we are using real strong scientific concepts, known facts, and we're applying that to our patients who don't read like a textbook because they have multiple disease states. They may have multiple concerns that they need help with. They have differing ages. Their bodies are able to process medications in different rates and times. Physicians are incredible diagnosticians. Nurses and nurse practitioners also are helpful in that domain in providing sometimes some tremendous great bedside care as well as some other screening. But the pharmacists are the ones who have this expertise with all the thousands and approaching now maybe a million different drug combinations and considerations. We're the ones that are helping do that. Sometimes, though, we're the closest person to a patient to be able to do that.
Yeah, access.
Access is tremendous. I mean, we hear stats all the time in terms of maybe 80 to 90% of Americans live within 5 miles of a pharmacy.
Yeah. I heard a term this morning. I was watching a news program, and they talked about healthcare deserts.
Yeah.
And that many times there aren't necessarily physicians or nurse practitioners around, that one of the closest folks they can come in contact with is a pharmacist, because there tends to be a pharmacy in most areas and most geographical, you know, kind of towns and counties. It's important that we're training students to act independently. And you made a good point. We hear physicians tell us what's wrong. And many times, pharmacists are the ones going, all right, now we know what's wrong. Here are some of the ways that we know that medications can help with those particular problems or issues. I'm amazed when I talk to the new generation about their career goals. How at UGA are we preparing students to answer the call of the community to be better at healthcare, like access and those kinds of things. How are we doing that within the teaching setting?
Indeed. So what we have to do is to truly make sure that our pharmacy students understand how the payment aspect of healthcare is derived. Typically, it's been a black box. People don't understand it, whether you're a healthcare professional or not. So we're making sure that our students are always thinking about healthcare considerations, the cost of the medication, how to really customize the right dosage form, the right strength of that drug. There may be unique compounding skills where here again, it's like curating someone's exact or making a special recipe for someone's exact medical needs. So how to do so when they can't find something on the shelf? Well, that's certainly a segment and a focus of pharmacy practice. But also what we're doing is allowing our students to be that person who is working in teams, working alongside those physicians, working alongside those nurses, but even having their own clinical practice. We have pharmacists daily who now have appointment systems where patients say, I'm going to come see you in a month because you're going to help me. I'm a very difficult to control patient when it comes to my diabetes. My sugars are very difficult to manage. I need some help with my dietary therapy as well. And typically the pharmacist is the person who has the ability to kind of deal with the complexity.
Yes.
Let's admit it, you can do this with me too. We love details.
We do.
We thrive in the details.
Pharmacists love details, guys. If you don't trust us on this, they love details. You bring up a good point. So educationally, we're not sitting in classrooms going, all right, here's this drug, here's what it does. We're actually saying, here's the drug, here's what it does, but here's how it impacts patients. Like, people. It's not about the drug.
It's not about the thing in a box or a bottle.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And so, but also not only to make that decision on the front end, but how we continue to follow along with our patients, make sure they're responding well if they have challenges getting their medications, and then making sure groups of patients do well. How we can ensure the health of large populations and panels of patients. So we have pharmacists more on the quality control side, if you want to think about it from a non-pharmacy perspective.
So it sounds, and I know this, and I'm reiterating something that I believe in. There are pharmacists everywhere, on every team. And that's, you bring this up. I think also that UGA, how are we teaching our students to be a team member? Because, you know, I don't think you work in a bubble, even if you are in that healthcare desert, with communication and Zoom and virtual connect, you can work with other healthcare providers. They may not be standing right beside you anymore.
Indeed.
So how are we training our students to be that team member?
Well, this is something that is quite different from when I was a student and how I was trained, and perhaps you as well.
Yeah.
We truly recognize healthcare is a team sport. So our students are learning alongside our healthcare colleagues, our medical student colleagues, our nursing student colleagues, our physician student colleagues, social workers, all these people that come together that provide great care to patients. Our students have to know what it's like to work with them, but also to use telephonic measures or video conferencing measures. Telehealth is the way to go, but it's still not operating on an island.
No.
So our students are getting together and learning the dynamics of how do I communicate? And what's the difference in my practice and yours and how we can use each other's expertise collectively? So we do have an excellent faculty member. You may know him. His name is Dr. Tim Brown. You might be familiar with him. I hope you are.
Yeah.
And this faculty member is the one who really makes the magic happen in terms of convening these groups to work through some really common scenarios that future healthcare professionals will have to deal with and can't solve it by themselves.
I appreciate that. I say to myself, self, every day. Interprofessional to me, which is what this is called, what Dean Smith is talking about, you know, we're talking about playing nice with other professions because the patient gets better care.
Indeed.
At the end of the day. One thing about UGA and the College of Pharmacy, it's ranked highly as a College of Pharmacy in the nation, correct?
That is correct. We always do well.
I know the ranking has changed. I'm not even familiar where our ranking is now.
Our latest ranking, it comes out every several years, we are at 24.
And how many pharmacy schools are in the country?
There are more than 140. So we continue to rise in the rankings, and we continue to aim to do so. But more importantly, it's not about the numbers. It's about the quality of the experience we have for our students and the excellent faculty. We've got people who are out there creating information. They are world-leading experts. Who better to engage our future pharmacists in understanding these unique needs. And recall, what you learned in pharmacy school and what I learned in pharmacy school will change over the course of someone's 40 years or plus of a career.
I think just discussing, and I just did a presentation to some physicians over the weekend talking about the number of drugs approved by the FDA, which is the Food and Drug Administration, guys, which tells us we get drug, we how to use it and everything. I was astounded by the number of drugs that were just approved in this past year. And people ask me all the time, how do pharmacists remember all those things? And I think educationally, we're not teaching people to memorize drugs. We're teaching them how to be learners throughout their entire career. Is that a fair assessment?
That's more than fair. I can tell you that historically, as I work with students, I try to speak in student-friendly language sometimes. So, you know, hashtags can be something that they certainly understand. And so my hashtag for them is always be learning. As a healthcare professional, they should always be learning. We're going to teach you the foundational things and the ways and the context clues to think through difficult situations, but you've got to commit to leading your own career, and you essentially are a student of healthcare as long as you were a pharmacist.
I think to take that to the next level, one of the things that I hear my father say and my family say, you know, they're sort of fed up sometimes with healthcare. Access them cost a lot of money. They don't understand why they have to use this versus that. How has UGA crafted a way to have impact within the folks who make those decisions? Insurance companies, heck, governments. Are we doing anything at our College of Pharmacy to impact those, not just in Georgia, I guess nationally as well?
You know we are. So fortunately here again, we can do that through individual mechanisms. So through our own faculty who are practicing pharmacists and leaders in the profession.
Yeah.
That's something, you know, that's important to me as I've had the opportunity and as well as you to be a leader in one of the larger national pharmacy organizations. And so what people are doing and modeling then in their own careers, our students are seeing and picking up on. So we are actively engaging them and out there actually influencing those who are making policy.
So role modeling, so the students can see.
This is what we do. So we show them here again, it's not then you graduate and you're done, you're out there. You are the experts, so you let then those who create laws, who create regulations, know what pharmacists need, but more importantly, what the patients need and how we are providing that solution. So when you see pharmacy students heading over to Atlanta for Day at the Dome, they are literally...
Day at the Dome?
Day at the Dome,
that's what
right?
It's called, really?
It's called Day at the Dome.
That's awesome.
Heading to the Capitol and working then and meeting their legislators, getting them comfortable understanding that dynamic because they are citizens.
So they go and meet the state senators and representatives when they're in session.
In session and talk to them about important issues in practice. And they also do things to show them why pharmacists are important. So doing health screenings, checking their blood sugar, blood glucose. If we were to head over at this time of year, we would say, hey, would you like your flu shot?
Right.
Those sorts of things to help them continue to understand that pharmacists are much more than pills and bottles.
And I have to admit to you, Day at the Dome, I love that. And I'm new to Georgia, and you know this, but every time I talk or learn something new, I'm always amazed at the ingenuity of the students and what they come up with. But Day at the Dome and going to see legislators is brilliant because it puts the student in front of these folks and also a voter in front of the folks who want to be reelected.
Indeed, and we're fortunate that here in Georgia that we've got some strong practice member organizations. So we also help our students understand... Here again, you need to find your people, find your tribe.
Right.
So once you graduate, you have people that can continue your own professional development, help you with the educational needs, but help you with the unique patient care things. And so organizations, that's what their bread and butter is.
Yeah.
And so helping them connect with those as well, it's incredibly important.
And there are two in Georgia, correct?
There are two major organizations, and there's some smaller regional chapters
that
as
have
well.
Impact, yeah.
Absolutely. But we've got some strong groups here that... and. I will say I'm kind of proud because there's great legacy of leadership from UGA graduates in those organizations.
Nice. Now, the students themselves, and I know this just because I've been sitting in the dean's office recently, that there are student organizations that happen on campus as well that work with these state organizations.
Exactly. So we have what we call student chapters of these organizations. And some of them even have the opportunity to sit on the board of directors for kind of the parent organization.
Right.
Here again, it's preparing them for when they are graduates to assume great leadership roles in the profession, but also in the community. These are skills that can translate to being on a local board of education or perhaps eventually to become someone involved in politics beyond that, other civic organizations. That's an important role that pharmacists should play, because here again, their patients see them as community leaders.
So, you know, to sum up, obviously when a student is accepted to the College of Pharmacy, they're learning about medications, they're learning how to interact with patients, they're learning how to take care of patients in a team approach. And then also it sounds like they're learning to have an impact on their community, both at a national, state, and a regional level, by being involved or being, I said, what's a great word? Pushed a little bit to say this is a part of your responsibility as a healthcare professional.
Absolutely. And as pharmacists, we even take an oath. I know many people are familiar with the Hippocratic Oath, but pharmacists take an oath upon graduation, and we commit to all these elements of patient care, but also being involved and being seen as a leader outside of our walls too.
So as we adapt and move forward, it's obvious pharmacists are going to have a role in this multi-layered healthcare system. I mean, everything we've been through in the last 2 years alone shows the pharmacist out there. How do you see UGA's College of Pharmacy moving and adapting to meet this change? You talked a little bit about telephonic earlier, but I'll argue telemedicine, telepharmacy is really growing right now. How are we changing or adapting our curriculum so we're making sure we're teaching students how to practice 5, 10, 20 years from now?
Well, we're fortunate, number one, because the students are pushing us as faculty members. Mm-hmm. They are demanding things that they see in their everyday life and asking, why is pharmacy not that way? Well, it is, and it's growing that way. So just as we're accustomed to pulling out a phone and doing a number of things there, our students are learning how to do that. We're preparing them how to use these tools in their patient care. So that, yes, there may be times where they actually have a patient visit and they're using an app to do so. And so we've been fortunate to have some great ingenuity in our faculty who instantly engaged in telehealth and simulating that very first semester when the world was encountering the pandemic.
Yeah.
When we couldn't be face-to-face, we were pushed to that. But that also shows you education was pushed that way, but healthcare was pushed
yes,
that way.
Yes, very much.
Also understanding, though, automation and how we can use technology to take care of some of the other tasks that pharmacists have been doing. So sometimes putting the right pills in the right bottles, as you may think of, so that we can spend more time actually interacting with our patients and doing so.
It's so interesting you bring that up, because I read an article this morning, and obviously I've been reading a lot, guys, lately. But Walgreens is discussing adding physicians' offices
yes.
to their stores.
Absolutely.
So there's a partnership where you have the physician that says, okay, this is what we think is going on, but it's almost like a one-stop shop in healthcare. And it sounds like that wave of the future will be much more of a team approach in the community setting as well. I think a lot of us think about this in hospitals and health systems. But this is a new approach.
It's this idea of a healthcare hub.
Yeah.
The pharmacy, there's so many of these places that exist that don't require right now an appointment to even walk in the door.
Yeah.
So we are a gateway to healthcare. What better way to situate people together and to be able to consult directly? I envision a day when then also patients are able to transmit data because they're wearing some sort of
yep.
digital device that monitors a number of elements of drug therapy. We're able to interpret that information and adjust their therapy with them.
Without seeing them in person.
Mm-hmm. And to also have this profile genetic basis of how they may respond to therapy, and we make adjustments based upon Dr. Tim Brown's unique needs versus how mine might be different and how my body responds differently to medications.
So, and I think that's what I was getting at earlier. When we're teaching the students these days, those are the kinds of things we're teaching them
yes.
to be prepared for.
Indeed.
Is that kind of change in the way we talk to, take care of, and manage people and patients to give them better care. I'm astounded when I talk to our students about what they envision their future looks like, because it pushes me to go, yeah, that's kind of cool. I like that idea.
Isn't it?
Yeah, I agree. And teaching the students does give you that. But I think the biggest thing for me in the College of Pharmacy is sort of talking to the community to realize that educationally, we're being pushed to change the traditional way of sitting in a classroom and listening to someone talk. It's no longer all about that. Much more about experiences now, right?
It is very much. We are gifted educators. We are gifted communicators because we're very humble, right?
Right.
Yes,
right.
Indeed. there's not always something magical about me standing in front of you and telling you something. Mm. There's much more magic in me giving you the foundations, you kind of trying to figure out the best solution to a problem, but then go and practice it. And what better ways to do so in what we call simulation, where we use colleagues from our community who come in and portray different disease states for our students and different conditions, and students have practice there. But then towards the end of their pharmacy careers in pharmacy school, they have much more intentional, in-depth time in the trenches, out there working alongside pharmacists, pharmacy technicians, physicians, and others, and actually doing the things that they have practiced.
In a controlled environment.
In a controlled environment.
Safe environment.
A safe environment. So there's a safety net there.
Sure.
The patient is not at risk, but the patient gets a young, eager person who's really excited and wants to do a tremendous job for their care.
Yeah, I like that a lot. I was just talking to someone about vaccines and accessibility to vaccines, and not just COVID. I know that's taken over the media, but flu vaccines against shingles.
Yes.
Those pharmacists are able now to do that because of the advocacy and the pushing of learners to say, we want more responsibility for our community. And now we're seeing pharmacists take the lead when it comes to preventive care like vaccines as well. And it comes from what you're talking about, being out in the public and finding that they're the experts.
Indeed, and we can bring the services to the public too.
True, that's true.
So we're seeing now, and perhaps many of the viewers are noticing, that they're what we sometimes call clinics, but pop-up areas where you can go and receive services that maybe you wouldn't normally. So in community centers and other places, we can bring it to you. Again, it's about access to care. And we're teaching our students at the very beginning, as first year students when they come to pharmacy school, how to administer a vaccine. Because that's a fundamental skill now that everyone should have, and then they continue to be able to build upon that as a gateway to another conversation with patients of, how are you doing otherwise? I can help you prevent this disease state. Let's look at some other things. They're building great relationships there, and the patient develops a lot of trust in them.
And also, I think, you know, you talked about Day at the Dome earlier, which I still love that name. But from that, I think legislatively, we found that certain states are allowing pharmacists a lot more evolution in their practice. They're able to order labs, you know, talk about prescriptions with physicians and nurse practitioners and physician assistants. So we're seeing pharmacists grow within healthcare in terms of responsibility.
Indeed. These days, certainly in the state of Georgia, you will find a number of pharmacists here again who have, quote, their own patients that they treat. Now, they connect with physicians who they have these collaborative practice agreements with, but essentially the physician says, hey, I've got this patient, I've made a diagnosis. I admittedly don't have a lot of time to deal with their complexity. Can they set up a way to continue to meet with you on a regular basis and make some adjustments?
Can we do a team approach?
And so it's really taking advantage of each person's talents and skills.
I like that.
And in many hospitals, you're going to see that pharmacists are managing the entire medication panel or decisions for patients because they are the ones right there, and the physicians and the other prescribers and diagnosticians, big word, at the bedside say, great, because I've got so many other patients I'm working with. I need your experience, your expertise, your laser focus here.
I'm thinking to myself, we talked earlier about football games and things like that. It's like everybody has a role on the field.
You know it.
And the goal is the end zone with, of course, patient care, making them healthy. And the fact I did a sports analogy, I am so proud of
you. Kudos
right
to
now.
You. That all lines up nicely. You've spent a little time in Georgia.
These last 2 years, I have slowly become to realize that football, like pharmacy, is in my blood.
It's a universal conversation,
it is.
Nothing else.
You know, Dean Smith, we've talked about a lot. I mean, obviously the topic this month is pharmacy advocacy.
Yes.
And we've talked a little bit about UGA's College of Pharmacy and the involvement and students that are there. But if we could sum up three important points for our community to walk away with from our conversation today, what three pearls would you give the folks when it comes to pharmacists and the way we are impacting their care?
Well, I would certainly encourage people to remember pharmacists are deeply trained and are truly experts in medication therapy. That means they are partnered and ready to go to help with your healthcare needs. They are among the most accessible healthcare professionals around, so don't assume because they're not out front every time you're in a pharmacy proper that they're not back there doing great things. And they're able to take care of you. And remember, too, they're able to take care of you when it comes to being part of a team. So they play an important role in the complex needs that we have today and we'll have, as we've heard earlier, as we continue to age.
And that's it, everyone. Thanks so much for tuning in to Farmcast for the Community for this month. We've been talking about pharmacy advocacy and how pharmacists are impacting your care in the community. Please remember, join me next month for Men's Health Month in November. Doctors Coburn and Young will be on board talking about what it's like for prevention and healthcare for men. Tune in then. In the meantime, safe and healthy until...